there's times of releasing. And I'm mentioning this because make no mistake about it, what is happening that we're facing now is not the end, but it's the beginning of the end. There's something that's being released in these months and years to come. There's that which is coming forth that has been there all the time, but is now being permitted to be released. And this hasn't got much to do with race. It hasn't got much to do with countries and nations. This is much, much deeper. Now, I want to pick on something specifically now that Daniel said, Jesus said, Paul said, and John sees in his book of the revelation. Something that Daniel said was he three times refers to something called the abomination that desolates. You may remember that. The abomination of desolation. Now, in the scripture, the word abomination almost exclusively is used of idolatry. The abomination that desolates. And as soon as you think of idols and things like that, you think of temples, places of worship. And Daniel saw in one of the places, chapter 9, you'll find that he actually says, the abomination that desolates. Now, if I can mention to you that the word desolate is linked with the idea of making a desert in both Hebrew and Greek, making a desert, making things that were paradise a desert. So you swing back in your mind to the book of Genesis and you think about paradise. You think about the man that God made with his wife, and you think of the beauty and the glory of their lives. And then you think of what occurred that is narrated for us in chapter 3. And you remember, the enthronement of self in the temple of man's soul that began to desolate man's soul and began to desolate the creation, and God putting a limit to it, limiting the desolation. The mystery of iniquity sown into the world. Make no mistake about it. The mystery of iniquity. And Paul actually mentions that, doesn't he? He's going to talk in his second epistle of Thessalonians, and he's going to say to everybody, he said, don't think the end's going to come, except first there's a falling away first. And the restraints are taken out of the way, and the abomination that desolates is set up in the temple. And then he says, it's already been working. The mystery of iniquity is already working. And Jesus, of course, Paul is just following on from what Jesus said in Matthew 24. I'm just quoting these scriptures, where he says that, in those days, there's going to be the abomination of desolation is going to be set up. In the temple, Jesus, can I ask you that the first temple is man's soul? It's not a building, you're a temple, I'm a temple. And you know the dragon, the old dragon in the garden, you know, he was led in, and you know, man on the throne in his own heart. And when that happens, that's the abominable thing. And it desolates. And I now, you might wonder why I'm talking this way, but you see, we're living in days. 400 or 500 years ago, humanism, the worship of man, that particular form of the mystery of iniquity began to work in particular ways, in philosophy, and you know, what's called the Enlightenment is really then darkenment, because it put man at the center of everything. It dislodged the Lord God, and it put man at the center. You know, Descartes, you know, I think, therefore I am. And if God was believed in, he was a disinterested deity at the back of things. And I want to bring this out quite forcibly, if I may. You see, hallelujah, that God has been moving in the Western world. He moved, thank God for the what you know God revealed to Luther, thank God for what was loosed through in church history in the 16th century and onwards, and thank God for the truth that came, say, through the Wesleys of holiness. Thank God for the things in the movings of God, and the missionary thrust that began at in the late 19th century. Many, many things happening. But alongside this, the mystery of iniquity has been emerging and coming very slowly to fruitfulness. It's beginning to come out more and more clearly. And you know, Jesus said in Matthew 24, there'll be wars and there'll be rumors of wars. And these are the beginning of sorrows. That's what he says. And we've had that. But this is the first time that anything global is really beginning to bite. Global economic breakdown, from which I doubt that the world will ever recover. The ramifications alongside it, your country where most of you are now residing, of course, the squabble, the ever ongoing squabble between the liberal left and the conservative right, and that kind of thing. You know that the liberal left is essentially humanism writ large in the form of communism and socialism. Man on the throne, the abomination of idolatry that desolates. So let's let man be on the throne of those who are LGBTQ, whatever you like. And anyone who knows anything knows that it's the abomination of vanity. I want what to have, the sexuality I want, that desolates. I am yet to meet a happy person that wants to choose their own sexuality. And the abomination that desolates is working. And you know that in the political sphere, you understand what is happening. Now, Jesus, when he was speaking about kingdoms and rule and rain, he gave a series of parables. You may remember them. One of the famous ones is the parable of the sower. But there's another one about seeds. And this is Matthew 13. But I'll mention it because I'm trying to talk principles. That's all I'm trying to do this evening. You remember he said that the kingdom of heaven is like. And then he says, someone who sowed a seed in his field. And then at night, an enemy came and sowed another seed in the same field. And they both grow together, and as they were growing up, the servant saw that one of the seeds was false. It was the tares. And the servant said, Master, do you want us to root them out? And he said, no, let both grow together and to harvest, and then they will be dealt with. And it is quite remarkable because the disciples, they scratched their heads and they said to the Lord in the house, tell us what it means. And he says something very, very, very powerful. He said, the good seed has been sown by my Father. And the seed, it's not the word of God, the seed of God, the seed is the sons of the kingdom. And then an enemy is the devil. And he has sowed in God's field the sons of evil. And Jesus said, and they're both growing together to harvest. Now, this is where, for the first time, the possibility of a harvest, a dreadful harvest, sons of evil. I'm not going to name names, but they're there. They're there in colleges. They're called professors, some of them. Sons of evil been sown by the wicked one. They're in the political sphere. Some people, and I'm not being a conspiracy theorist, I'm only talking simply the scriptural principle of the mystery of iniquity that has been working through the centuries in the temple of man's soul, where man has set himself up as Lord and God. It is coming to the surface globally. We can fix it. The economy will bounce back. We'll get the cure for everything. We can do as we please. Technology. You know, technocracy. You know what I'm talking about here. The idolatry of man's skills. And of course, it's the abomination that desolates. So Mao Zedong, Richard mentions he built the roads. Yes, that's true. And so did the Romans, and God used it. The Romans, for the gospel's sake, he used it. But the Roman Empire desolated the Mediterranean. The idolatry itself that was implicit. And you can ponder that with China, the desolation that is going on in the souls of men. And I spent enough time of my life being in the Eastern Bloc, living in and being in communist countries before the wall came down, and seeing the desolate states of hearts. And the only ones that had a shining, who had a brightness, were the sons of the kingdom. the ones who were prepared to pay a price to believe. When I first went to Nepal, all many, many years ago, the first man who interpreted me in the meetings in Kathmandu had just come out of prison for baptizing people. I preached. He was the first one on his knees. He just was sold out to God. And he said to me after he interpreted me, "I am going to baptize people next Sunday. If the authorities are there, I'll be back in prison for 2 years." A son of the kingdom. God was enthroned in his heart. The mystery of godliness was working in him. You see, there are two mysteries. And at the end, they both come into harvest. They both become clear. They both, the sons of the kingdom, they come into their harvest. And it won't be in Houston, in Joel Osteen's church. It won't be in some concert church. It won't be in Hillsong's music. It won't be in Elevation Church, North Carolina. It'll be where the saints are true sons of the kingdom and who will stand out against. You know, in this country, brothers and sisters, the church has had no voice. No public voice. No one's saying anything. The Archbishop of Canterbury has nothing to say. It's a tragedy. No voice that stands and says, God is working. God is wanting to sift things. Very serious days in which we live. When Jesus spoke about the end times, you know that one of the things he said was parabolic. He threw it in alongside. The word parable is a word from the Greek parabole, to throw alongside, in parallel. And one of them was about 10 women who were virgins, and one and five were wise and five were foolish. They were not ready, the foolish ones. They had no reservoir. They had no depth. They had no vessel that was filled with oil, so that when the time came, you see, these are serious things. I'm bringing a whole heap of things in all at once, I know, but you know, the mystery of godliness is working, and it's, I don't know, it's working in your heart, but I tell you, there is a fire in my heart that is burning more brightly now than it was 20 years ago or 40 years ago, to glorify the Lord and speak the truth and be a son of the kingdom, because this is where we're at. We are on a confrontation, or on a collision course with evil. In government, in your nation, it's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time. And many of the churches will be the foolish virgins. There'll be a diluted people who have nothing to say to man's soul. Just the same has happened in China. It's just the same as happened as in Romania, if you know anything about Richard Wurmbrand and what happened to him, incarcerated for 14 years. It's coming globally. Let's wake up, because there are subtle powers, and the mystery of iniquity is coming to its harvest. The sons of evil, of the evil one, are emerging. It may not happen in my lifetime. I'm soon to be 76, but it's coming. It's coming. And hallelujah, you know, the Lord is that these are serious things that I'm saying to you, I know. But I encourage you to reflect on them. I just notice the time and I must draw to an end. But, you know, this abomination of desolation. Oh, the worship of self. Oh, this mystery of iniquity that already works. The spirit of Antichrist is already in the world, John wrote. It'll come into embodiment in manifestation, whether one man or 50 men and women, I don't know, or 500 men and women, whether they're Chinese, Jewish, American, or whatever, they're already working. It's already working. It's already working. And Jesus said, this is history, that you watch for when things come to harvest here, where we are living temporarily. We're not living in our own home at the moment, but where we're living, there are wheat fields in the vicinity, and there was unusual heat for England in May and into early June, and it really did bring the wheat on, and it's sort of ripe to harvest. And you know, it's quite a thing to see those heads waving in the grey in the wind. And I think of this, you know, we're coming to harvest, the harvest of men's scientific ability, the harvest of technological prowess, the harvest. And the harvest of wickedness in high places. Something I've never really understood fully is that when Paul writes to the Ephesians and says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. I've never fully understood, because I know that in these principalities and powers in high places, they somehow have an access through the self-love of man's soul into some people in high places, in politics, in the scientific world, in every department of life, and they work. And, you know, Jordan Peterson, who's not a Christian, to my knowledge, Canadian, you know, he's wrestling for free speech. He's recognizing something that is being eroded. You think of what's happened in Hong Kong in the last two or three or four days. Inevitable that it would happen. Inevitable that where man enthrones himself, look at what's going to happen. Desolation in Hong Kong. We're not talking about capitalism versus socialism. Not talking about that. I'm trying to bring home deep spiritual issues. And if I sound negative, I hope I don't, because I know that the sons of the kingdom must come to fruit. If I say this to you all, you might throw me out the window. The future of the church is in the house. It's not in the concert hall or the cathedral. It's in the locality. It's in the local place, where the people of God shine and pay a price for it. The difficulties that are beginning to come, my daughter is a home educator. She educates the three children. Her husband lost his job earlier this year. He's looking for work. He's paid taxes for years. He does not qualify for help from the government for one simple reason. His wife is a home educator and refuses to apply for jobs. That's how the system is working in this country. Antichrist in subtlest ways, the mystery of iniquity working. Reaching, what do? They trust the Lord more. They look to God to help them and supply. He's looking for jobs all over the world. He doesn't want to go anywhere else in the world, obviously. But I'm trying to illustrate the seriousness of the days in which we're in. And my encouragement to us all is to get down before God. Young couples, get down before God. Things are not going to bounce back. Our Boris Johnson, you know, it's going to bounce back. It's going to bounce back. It may bounce like a balloon and be blown up, but it'll prick. And you think of your nation there in the United States, and I think of the pawns that people are becoming. I think of I've lived in Africa. I've been here, and I have many black friends, and some of them are utterly ashamed. Our compatriots are being treated like pawns. But this is the abomination of desolation working. And you know, oh, the Lord reveal himself in power to us, his people. And so I want to finish with black and white, really. not BLM type black. No. The John the Apostle type black. You know, we are of God, little children. We are sons of the kingdom. We're going to pay a price. Those of you who are younger listening to me now, you know, who may live longer than I do on the earth. You know, to be a Christian family in the world that's coming, it's going to be a costly thing, a costly thing. So the mysteries are working, mystery of godliness. If I was to ask you a question, I'm always preaching to you, aren't I? But if I was to ask you this question, is this mystery of godliness working in you? Many of you would say yes. You know, we need meetings where we kindle one another because we ourselves come kindled. You know what I mean? We're alight with the Holy Spirit. We've got the reservoir. We're a wise virgin. And we need to fellowship with those and pray with those. One last thing. Jesus talks about restraining. Paul talks about restraining. There's something that restrains, and then it's taken out of the way, and then there's this release. There's this release. There's such a release of lies in the media, isn't there? You know the twist. There's such a release of voices. There's such a release. And I want, as God should give me strength, that there shall be a release of his word and his truth in you and me, and that our meetings will turn into places of fire where there'll be light burning. Fire produces light. Light does not come from any other source than kindled lives. that are burning for God and that have the oil. So I'm through, I must stop. My hour is gone, and no questions. I've been a naughty boy.
Well, how about we just pause and pray a little bit, and then whoever feels they need to go, feel free. If anyone wants to stick around a little bit, we can have some questions or discussion. How's that?
Mm-hmm.
So tell you what, thank you, Bernard. You are not negative. I trust I'm speaking for everyone that we appreciate. And the truth is, we want to hear the truth.
Yeah. You know,
we want to hear, we don't want it sugar-coated. We don't want to pretend. We don't want to hide. We want to be in reality, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So how about I close in prayer, and then I'll unmute everybody. Okay?
Yes.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for your love to us.
Yes.
Thank you that we can all be together in this strange and unique way. Lord, thank you that to you, distance means nothing. You're here with us, wherever we are at this moment. Lord, we pray that you will stir our hearts and open our eyes and help us, Lord, to face the reality of each of our situations.
Yes.
That we will be bold, that we will be brave, that we will not run back, not flee, but that we will move forward in our lives. Yes. And oh Lord Jesus, you are our life. Mm-hmm. You are the reason we live. You are the reason that all is going on in the world. We trust you, Lord. Bless each one of us as we are here together now. And if your will is, Lord, let us gather again. We look to you about it, Lord. We praise you. And we pray, Father, in Jesus' perfect and precious name. Amen.
Amen, Amen, Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.